I'm just gonna start recording.
Okay.
Just gonna start off super cash. With the special ability of not giving a fuck.
Welcome to the internet. Take a look around.
I'm still so obsessed.
I am too. I feel like I'm getting on people's nerves because I keep listening to songs and keep talking about it. And what was really great was Anthony's birthday was the other day, and he turned 30. And so I grabbed the link and I was like, let this be your anthem on this glorious day. And then I showed it to
turning
30.
My stupid friends are having stupid children.
Oh, man.
Stupid, boring, ugly fucking children.
Yeah, and I showed it to Chelsea in the car, my wife. And my wife. She did not seem impressed at all, and it kind of made me feel bad.
Right. Sometimes that's the hardest thing is getting so into something, and then your special someone just not really sharing. A perfect example is Rick and Morty. Like, she'll watch 10 seconds of it. And just be like, what the fuck are you watching? And
it's
like,
yeah.
Out of context, this is really fucked up. I understand that. But it's like, in the context of everything, this is like really insightful or really funny or whatever. It's like if she came up to the one part on Rick and Morty where Hoovy goes back to his dimension and then ends up getting killed by his son, she'd just be like, what the fuck is going on? But in the context of the entire episode, it's like, oh, okay, this is actually really clever and, like, the way it goes on from there. But it's like, she just sees cartoon and people cursing, and it's like, oh, well, this is fucking dumb, you know? And then, yeah, the same thing with Bo Burnham. She enjoyed it. I don't think she disliked it. But she, like, not to be, like, pretentious and be like, here's my monocle already. I'm like, oh, she just didn't understand it. She didn't understand the genius of it all.
Like, that's the really hard thing about talking about this is that it kind of has to click for you. And I realized after I showed her the song out of context completely, like, it's whatever. Okay, it's a song. But, like, when you sit down and you've watched it and then you see him in the special doing that part of the song, it's like, it's really fucking impressive. Like,
it's also just really impactful because it's like right before that he has this really long no cut where he's just like, so I told myself I was going to be done before I was 30, and now it's almost midnight of me turning 30, and I have to basically just get back to work. And so then he sits there for a good like minute, complete silence. It turns midnight and he's like, yay. Which is, when you hit a certain age, that is so close to home, it's not even funny. Every fucking year that ticks by now is just another year that ticks by. I am no longer happy around my birthday. I've never been happy around my birthday. Here we go. Story time. My birthday is on January 12th. Mm-hmm. And so Christmas just passed. The new year just passed. And I've never... I'm sorry. It's very unthoughtful of me. I've had one party in my entire life. And that was when I was, I think, in the first grade or something like that. Like, my birthday just has never been a big deal. To the point now where, like, I expect it not to be a big deal. I would love for it to be a big deal. Like, I go in cycles. You know what I mean? Like, I'll go a couple of years where I just don't expect literally anything to happen on my birthday. Then I'll go a couple of years where I'm just like, okay, it would really be nice. You know when my birthday is. Why don't you do anything for my birthday? But of course, it's like that whole thing where like your spouse or your significant other will ask you, you know, hey, what do you want to do? It's like, bitch, I shouldn't have to tell you. Like, you know what I like. And so what was I getting at? Oh, so I already don't like my birthday is the point I was trying to get at. I already don't like my birthday because just nothing ever happens on it. It's not that special. I don't think I've ever gotten like a really, really cool gift on it or anything. You know, like, so I, super depressed. So I don't expect that much for my birthday or whatever. And so, yeah, every year that does go by. Also, I think two things happen. Number one is time itself. Time ticked on, and you hit a certain point in your life, and you're just like, here I am, X amount old. What have I done with my life? You know what I mean? So that's number one. Number two is I had back surgery, seven years ago now. Or something. I think it was in 2013, so it's now been like 8 years. So I had surgery back then. Anything pre 2013 was pretty much just like, okay, I'm living my life, and like, you know, nothing can stop me. I'm on my way up. And then post 2013, when I have the surgery, suddenly there's this sudden shock of mortality. I am now, I'm mortal, and anything can kick me on my ass and ruin my entire life. And so now, literally every birthday that passes by is probably the most depressing day in the entire year. You know, for multiple reasons, but mainly just because of the passage of time and how I don't like how the year just keeps going on, and it's just like, okay, here I am, 33 years old, what have I done with my life? You know, which of course some people will be like, oh, you have two wonderful kids and you have a loving wife or whatever. It's like, yeah, but there's a triangle. Okay. There's a triangle. A lot of people say this. There's work, work, love, life. Or no, work.
Live, life. Ha ha, fuck.
There's work, life. Or there's, yeah, I think it is. It's like work, love, life. So I have to be. Happy with all of them for me to truly feel fulfilled. So for instance, I'm very happy with my family, but that's only one part of the triangle. I'm not happy with my life, and I'm not happy with my job. For instance, I'm an Uber Eats driver. I'm not making money. You know, my wife is the breadwinner. She is the aquatics director at a big place. And so she's the boss. There's one or two people above her, basically. So she's the boss. And she makes the money. She's salary. So she makes the money. And at no time was I ever like sexist and been like, oh my God, I have to make the money. I'm so jealous. You know, no, I have come to terms with that long, long ago. But what hurts the most is just not doing my part. I don't care if I make $1,000 a month or $2,000 or whatever. I just want to make my part. So lately, for like 1 week to the other was a huge difference. 1 week I'm making like almost half of my budget on a Monday, and now I can't even get up to half of my budget. And it's so gut-wrenchingly stressful and so depressing and chocked full. Right in the middle of all this, my grandma dies, and I've never had to deal with that before in my life. And now, like, I'm not doing my part to, like, keep my family happy. You know, something as little as just, like, grabbing something on the way home to eat or a snack or something like that. Like, our bank account has been down at zero for a little while. And it's like, I go to work and I make $15 just so we can have $15 in our account. And it's just like, ugh. It's, yeah. So, 30 sucks. Especially if you're not, like, really fulfilled, you know? Really fulfilled in your life. And it, so anyways, point being, that song bumps when it actually means something to you, or you can at least relate to it. And yeah, seeing him like that, seeing him vulnerable like that, is one thing. And then, like you said, completely out of context, he's in his underwear. Because another thing that you can notice from the the whole special, not just one song, is that he progressively gets worse. So I'm turning 30, I think, is about halfway through. For most of the first songs, he's fully clothed. He's fully clothed. He'll even do costume changes. Then he hits a certain point. He's just in his underwear, and most of his songs are just, like, they get more and more serious because it's like the year of 2020 was going on as he's making the special, and so it's getting more and more serious.
And then you go into Welcome to the Internet, and he's just like, oh, he just lost his fucking mind.
Right.
But that song, talking about Bo Burnham. I mean, we could talk about Bo Burnham as that song. There's different parts that hit at different fucking notes. Like,
there's this one guy. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. There's this one guy who did a cover of it, and he even did the lighting where he had the green dots and then the ethereal stuff or whatever. But he did it at the wrong time. He did it just to do it. He didn't do it. So let me explain. There's a video on YouTube that pointed this out to me, and I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So the green lights are basically all the different content that you can find on the internet. So that's what the green lights represent. So then all of a sudden they go away. But when do they go away? They go away when he starts talking about, you know, it didn't used to be like this. Travel blogs, da da da. You know, so he's talking about the beginning of the internet. So there's not all this noise going on. So he turns the lights off. Then he turns on a different set of lights. But when does he turn it on? He turns it on when he's talking about you, insatiable. And so what he's talking about is then it's the time of content creators. So it's no longer about looking at all the content on the internet. It's about creating all the content in the internet. And that's why it's all ethereal, because it's your mind. It's your creative whatever. And so then at the very end, what happens? The green lights and the ethereal come together. And so now it's 2020. There's all this content, so much content that you don't know what to do with, plus a bunch of creative people trying to create something out of this content. And it's like, and it's fucking beautiful. And so this other guy does a cover of it, and he has the green lights and he has the ethereal stuff, but it means jack shit because he doesn't do it in the correct way. So that's my
monocle. Let me put my monocle down. Well, yeah, with that, that one I haven't actually broke down. So that's actually interesting, but that's the thing that I'm really starting to enjoy is the continued, like, basically response to it. Like on TikTok in particular, like I had seen one the other day, like seeing the reactions to the special was like, you know, it was really good to watch, 'cause it was cool to see other people's reactions. But I saw one the other day, 'cause I will listen to All Eyes on Me a lot. Like, I try to not listen to it a lot so it doesn't get, like, old for me. But, like, especially the part when it breaks down after it's like, got it good, now get inside. And then when those harmonies hit, it's like magic. Like, it gives me chill bumps every single fucking time.
Chill bumps? Oh, my God.
Chill bumps. Yeah. It gives me the chilly bumps.
Give me bumps on my chumps.
Gives me bumps on my chumps. But like, I'd seen a TikTok where this vocal coach was reacting to it, and was like, when he hits those notes, she's like, oh, like it hits her, like you see it hit her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's really fucking cool. It's really powerful. Like, it's, and it's also behind the genius of it, those harmonies separated are fucking simple. And I say that because I have a very, 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 very basic knowledge of music theory, because I took 2 music theory classes. Did I pay attention? Most of it, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to pay attention to that. But like, I understand, like, you know, the basic structure of it. And I know it, for me, I feel like I can sing, but I know if I had more coaching to it, like I would be able to, you know, really pull it out. But like, a lot of the stuff, the songs from the
never pull it special, out.
Not while I'm recording. I try not to. whenever like he's going through the special and I'm listening to the songs, like I can very easily sing them. Like they're very easy notes and like patterns and like it or chords. I mean, they're very easy chords to understand and sing. So it's just, it's so interesting that like we are already like unpacking so much of the special and it's just going to be unpacked way more in years to come.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean,
it's still in relevancy to me. Yeah, I mean,
definitely. I mean, but so we don't go two episodes talking about Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Loki instead.
Whoa. Real quick, talking about time, I saw something on Facebook. I wanted to tell someone to fuck off because it was a post that said, in 6 months, 2020 will be 2 years ago.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, I mean, technically not, because 2020 was an entire year. You know what I mean? So technically, in 6 months, it'll only
be
a year
away. The events that started. Yeah. So yeah. I think it'll hit more whenever
argue it really didn't get going until February, March or whatever. So I would argue not technically, because even then, what made 2020 so bleh is the fact that it was so long. It's like, oh, yeah, 4 weeks from now, we're going to be fine. We'll be out back outside and yada, 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 right? But then everybody stayed outside instead of going to their fucking homes, you know? So anyways, yeah. But yeah, I could see, yes, that's technically true. But at the same time, I think of 2020 personally because of just how it impacted our lives and everything. I look at 2020 as the entire fucking year. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Yeah, so.
But we didn't have Loki in 2020.
We did not have Loki
in 2020. And good lord, it fucking graces.
Ah.
This show slaps. This show is so fucking good. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's like, it's one of those that I feel like WandaVision, I can go, okay, you're trying something different. This is the prototype, basically.
Right.
This is the pilot for what you're doing. Falcon and Winter Soldier is very easily, you know, more Captain America, and it fits directly into that story.
Yeah, it was very easily digestible, and the only thing I didn't like, somebody pointed, I can't remember who it was, but somebody pointed it out that it's like WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier were really trying to, like, make evil people okay. And so now we have Loki, and it's also trying to make evil people okay. And it's like,
well, that's what I think is really cool, because if that is true, if that's how they're kind of doing that, because you're not wrong, because that's a very interesting way to unpack that.
Because I think the main thing that bugged me about when they tried to do it in Falcon and the Winter Soldier is because it's like we didn't really have a main antagonist because Sam kept trying to, like, humanize the girl. And it's like, I understand that, and I'm glad they tried to do that. But there is a line. She crossed it, and she crossed it several fucking times. Like, there's a time where, like, he's trying to, like, help her out, and she pushes off a truck and makes it almost fall over an edge. And then even then, when she finally dies, he's carrying her like she's some kind of fucking messiah. And it's like, no, you're not.
So here's the thing. Yeah, the Flag Smashers are the are the central antagonist of the show.
Right.
They are because they're introduced in the beginning as far as this threat. Like, you're introduced in the first episode, this is the threat. What we end up finding out basically at the end of the episode is that the government, the people who were still basically here during the blip,
right,
were the real villains. Like, true. That speech at the end is it's basically like it pretty much it was a journey to a big call to action. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I get that, but at the same time it's just like Thanos was a absolute monster. They made him relatable and or that you could see where he's coming from, but they still made it very clear that he was a piece of shit. So having this evil person who isn't evil, but really fucking is, because she's still making decisions, you know, Wanda, like, what made her journey so interesting is because of why she did it. And she did it out of grief, and there was maybe even part of her that didn't even realize that she was doing it, but she did, but she didn't. And that's what made her intriguing.
And you know? it's a real big case study on trauma. Mm-hmm. And like, there are even cases to, and to corroborate what you said, I saw, and here, TikTok is such a great platform. It really is. If you're not on it, get on it. It is because there's so much, like this one, for example, this girl made a skit TikTok where she was like,
a skit talk.
She came in through the door and was like, experiences very traumatic event at a young age. And then the next clip is her like, me waking up 7 years later being a barista. And then someone was like commented on it on that same video and was like, can we explain how real this is? And basically explaining how like something really traumatic. I think what it said was she saw her best friend get killed when she was 10 years old.
Oh God.
And she then later woke up a decade moving into her first apartment, going into college. Like she basically, her brain had, because of that trauma, her brain had shut off part of her consciousness, and she was on autopilot for 10 years. And then she snapped back into her consciousness as she's moving into college. Wow. And it's like that. That's why I say that WandaVision is a true case study on grief, because the way that it shows the show, the way that it, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
That's the show is the different stages of grief. Like it began like the exact stage, you know, stage by stage, it gives that in the show. But real quick before I forget, because I'm going to forget, I know it. Going back to what you're talking about, ambiguity. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, two things. The Thanos thing, I think it's really interesting how they were able to distinguish how much more of a villain 2014 Thanos was than 2018 Thanos. Like, because going through and finishing and you know, rewatching all of them, and especially... I'm sorry, guys. You have to do this. If you're doing a rewatch, when you're watching Infinity War, you have to give it at least a week before you watch Endgame. Like, or if you're showing it to someone who hasn't seen it before. Because, like, I feel like you have to experience some portion of the pain that we all felt a year later coming back to it. Because, I mean, I feel like that sets the gravity of everything. Like, it really, really does. But
yeah, if you just binge it, it's like okay, yeah, that was 2 seconds ago.
yeah. But, like, Thanos and, like, he is a villain, but the way he explains himself, like, it's very genocidally. That's not even a fucking word. But if you take, like, Samuel L. Jackson from Kingsman and Thanos, like, Samuel L. Jackson's whole thing was he was going to set this, like, frequency themselves. That's more, I feel like, egregious in terms of, like, population control than this, because... You know, in the sense of how merciful it would be just at a snap. It's still devastating, don't get me wrong, but like in Endgame, it's like, oh no, this guy is a villain. Like 2018 Thanos had those 4 years to grow and age, and like it's cool how they were able to separate him. But you're talking about how they're trying to do seed ambiguity in terms of villains. I think that Loki is 1,000% setting up the villain for this next phase, for this next
movie. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because
Especially after the last episode, yeah.
Well, the thing that's cool about it is you don't know who's the villain. They are really in this. They're like, are the timekeepers the bad guys? Is Sylvie the bad guy? Is like, there it literally is. But that's what I think is really cool about Loki is we didn't know what to expect. And I think because we have no idea what's going on, it's like, oh fuck, this is Marvel again. You know? Like the TVA is.
Yeah. I think that's what made Wanda so interesting. And Falcon and the Winter Soldier just kind of meh. Like, Falcon and Winter Soldier is a nice kind of, like, popcorn, like, oh, this is so exciting. But Wanda was, like, thought-provoking because of the mystery. And so now we have that mystery back. Like, the perfect, like, I don't know about Hawkeye, like, you know, like, I don't know about
Hawkeye. I'm fucking stoked for Hawkeye, dude.
My point being, if Hawkeye can somehow have mystery and action, they can then marry Wanda and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But anyways... Loki,
well, that's what's great about these. Yeah, Loki. We keep going. We just keep sucking Marvel's dick right now. We're like, Marvel, just give us more. Okay.
So Loki.
But Loki.
I love them. I love the way they established him in the first episode, because one, it was just, you know, it was typical kind of like fish out of water or whatever, but like showing him going through the grief of him basically killing his mother, because, oh yeah, by the way, this is the Loki that hadn't done that yet. So Owen Wilson showing him how he told him to go to the left, which led to him killing his own mother, and then also seeing himself die, basically coming to that realization that I'm just a pawn in someone else's story, was just like...
The realization. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all. And here's some shit that'll make you tear up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody pointed out that his reel doesn't end when Thanos kills him. His reel ends when Thor runs up to him and, like, hugs him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... but it, like seeing him see, watching him see that, and just like, I thought they were just going to show up to there. I didn't think he was, they were going to let him watch the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. That goes into, again, the ambiguity, and for what we don't know what the fuck the TVA is. Like, mm-hmm. we have the understanding that the source of all power is these six fucking stones that go on someone's hand.
Right.
And now you're like, hey, there's this whole plane of existence full of infinity stones. There's this whole plane of existence that we haven't explained. Now, have you gone down the rabbit hole of theories on this yet?
I've tried to keep away from them just in case I catch one that's true, because it's just like
fucking fascinating.
That's kind of what ruined Wanda. Because the fact that everybody was like, oh, hey, they're going to reveal the X-Men. They're going to, Xavier's going to be the cameo, all this stuff. Because of all that bullshit, the last episode didn't hit as well as it could have. If I rewatched it, it probably would. Because I know what to expect. Therefore, the expectation isn't there anymore. So for me, I have not looked at any, because I really want to be surprised. And I'm glad I am, because it's like, when they talk about how, all the people from the TVA are real people, he's like, wait, I thought they
were variants themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought they were, you know, whatever. And so it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. They basically took all the variants and then made them work for them or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay. But they thought, like, they don't have their memory. So who's taking their memory? Like, it adds this nice layer of like, ugh. Yeah. Anyways, what were you saying?
Well, so that's the thing, is I have, there are two things in particular that really are thought provoking that I don't know if you want me to talk about then, because it has to do with Loki, that theories that make fucking sense.
Yeah.
So
at first I thought Owen Wilson was going to be revealed to be like a Loki variant. But now that I know that everybody is technically a real person, it's more like, oh no, he is a real person, and that explains why he's obsessed with jet skis. He had a jet ski when he was a real person.
Well, there's which is interesting. Reading into some of the comics things about the TVA, apparently in the comics, Morbius and Morbius, which I find hilarious that that's his name, is a clone. Like, he has clones of himself. Like, he's a set. He's like a group of people. It's not just one person. Oh, yeah. And so there is a kind of theory with that. I mean, I don't really did you pay attention to the part whenever he was in her office, when he was in like the head director's office and was talking about the coffee stains on the, did you pay attention to that at all? Or it just like, oh okay. So some people are thinking that the other analyst that she has might be another Morbius.
Right.
But like, the Pym makes the thing. I thought it was Peter Parker. I was like, I know that's not going to be the case. But it's, God. Okay. Can I give you one? Can I just say one?
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So there is theories that we might, so, you know, we pretty much know that Kang the Conqueror is going to be this saga's Thanos.
Yeah.
That's what a lot
of people are saying. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and he's cast too, so that's the expectation, because he's this person who's like, I'm going to control all time. I'm going to get, like, that's his whole
thing.
Gotcha,
okay, yeah.
There is a theory that he is one of the timekeepers.
Right, yeah, I've seen that one at least.
And so what's interesting is Loki could very well be setting up, the introduction to him, because, like, they're really focusing even on the third episode. He's like, I'm trying to get to the timekeepers. I'm trying to get to the timekeepers. And it would be cool to have the main villain not set up in a movie, like to have that crossover.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why it's cool, but also, going into the ambiguity, Kang is a bad guy. I mean, he wants to conquer all space and time, absolutely. Right. But
which
it's like,
would make sense why he wants there to be a quote unquote true time, because it's the true time that he wins. Yeah. And only when all these things fall into place does something happen that makes it so he wins, basically.
Right, right. Because the thing that's been really racking my brain is people going, okay, well, how was what happened in Infinity War and Endgame okay? Like, how was that meant to happen?
That was, quote, meant to happen. That was supposed to happen. So them going back in time and creating variants themselves essentially was part of the main timeline or whatever.
Yeah.
So
now, sacred, I guess with them going back and, like, replacing it, it makes you go down these rabbit holes. And that's what I think makes a really good show. But also, like, to shout out, because we haven't talked about it yet, the fact that they just very casually, but so important and impactfully, just, like, were basically like, yeah, you know, Loki's bi. You know, they kind of confirmed
it. And he's fluent. He's fluent. Gender fluent.
Fluent in gender studies. Yeah, yes. Fluent. He's
gender. He's gender fluid. Am I saying it right? He's
gender fluid.
Yeah, gender fluid. He's gender fluid. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of, and that they almost didn't point out at all. Like, you had to go to one of the YouTube videos and actually see them.
That was something early on. They were kind of like, you know, oh, you know. So it was something from a while ago. But yeah, the fact that it was just a casual conversation and it wasn't like set up to be this big thing, but it just makes a passing comment. It's like,
let me know what you think, because personally, I think that's the right way to do it.
Yep.
Because
it's a real conversation.
Yeah, if they made too much of a deal of it, then people would be like, oh, they're woke. Now, of course, people are going to still say that they're woke. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. But I do feel like if they would have made a big deal, like, I don't know, Captain the Winter Soldier was borderline. I wouldn't say that they did it wrong, but I would say they were right on the cusp of it, mainly because of that last scene where they're like, oh, yeah, here's a statue to a guy that we tortured and put into prison for 30 years. Does that statue talk about how you were in prison for 30 years? Or is it literally just a symbol of, yes, we see you, but not really, because we're not going to tell anybody about that 30 years you were in jail? Like,
Yeah, it's with Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's not that it was woke, but it was definitely more
in your face.
It was, because it tackled race directly. It directly tackled race, but it also tackled race in the right way. We'll say that.
It tackled it directly, but it did do it at least clever enough, because they used, like, real world, black people in World War II getting syphilis, was it?
It was an injection of syphilis, I believe. Yeah.
So and it was very, side by side, or I guess.
Right, yeah, yeah. The incorporation of that storyline from the comics was not expected, and really cool to see. It also built this world up a little bit larger and kind of gave more focus, I think, on the government in this world. Because
him becoming the first Black Captain America did mean a little bit more, because the government specifically, like, didn't want there to be one. And so him kind of rising above that did kind of make his struggle a little bit more meaningful. So that's why I said it was very borderline. Because it was definitely still more in your face. I still feel like it was the right type of in your face, but like I said, borderline. This was a very casual conversation. And even, like, the way he acts on a normal basis isn't like, hey, everybody, let's go. No, he's like, yeah, I like men, I like women, like, what's the deal? You know?
Well, there's an actual term for, like, his attitude and how he is that they say in that same scene. I just don't remember what it is. It's like a classical, like, ancient sort, like, you remember Futurama?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's something akin to the gold robot, the gold robot that was on the throne. That was like, had the, hold on. We're going to fact check this. I want to know what, because it describes his personality perfectly. Hold on, pause. But Disney Plus.
Did you find it?
We didn't find it. We didn't find it. But no, it's like, you're right. It's a casual conversation. And for people who would be upset that this is woke, it doesn't make any fucking sense to me, because literally they don't give you any, like, usually a lot of times when you're facing forced diversity, you can tell when it's coming.
Right.
Prime example, right before you walked into the movie theater to go watch the all-female Ghostbusters, you knew that was forced diversity. And and how did that movie, you know, come about? So, or not come about, how did that movie end up?
Right.
And so it's one of those.
Yeah, that, I mean, this that's the thing that, like, people just hate in general, is like when it's like so obvious, you know. And I would argue that that's part of the reason The Last Jedi got so much hate. It wasn't that, hey, here is more women. Instead, they're like, okay, now there's like nothing but women on the
ship.
What's the place
on the cover? On the poster?
Where everybody is. Bridge. God damn it. Why was I having a problem with that?
Oh, on the bridge. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're on the bridge. There was like literally nothing but women all of a sudden. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Like, I want more women in movies. That's totally fine. But the fact that it went from literally Leia and the girl in the white robe to nothing but women on the bridge was so obvious that it was just like, okay, I get it. And then it was like, hey, we couldn't just have a normal person tell Poe Dameron, the star of the fucking movies or whatever, no, you're a hothead. Instead, we had to have somebody with purple hair. And it's just like, that was just a step too far, where it's like, they literally could have just a normal-ass person tell him that, and it would have been totally okay. But the fact that they had to make her purple hair, and they had to make her, like, super demeaning to him, you know? Like, it was her whole, like, yeah, about it. I don't know. Anyways.
You want to know what's a really interesting fun fact about this? I didn't know that was a fucking thing. Like, the whole thing with, I never paid attention to that. Like, I never noticed the women on the bridge, like, it being all women on the bridge.
And
like, I never paid attention to that.
That's what I mean. Like, it's, that's why, well, a lot of people find it as forced.
Well, a good one, too, to compare with Marvel and, I guess, Disney same umbrella, is the whole Endgame scene. Like,
yes,
when they did the form of, like, the girl team, it's like, look, it's cool, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's so obvious, we got this. And it's like,
right,
when you compare, like, and that was fine by itself, we're like, that could have been better, but when we get the last scene of The Mandalorian, where literally what they did was the entire season set up that these women are badass, like, just by showing them the fucking characters, and they have this actual badass moment where they come in and just start wrecking shop, and it happens naturally.
It happens naturally. Yeah, whereas
that's a really...
Whereas, yeah, that seems so forced. And when it happened in Infinity War, it was Black Widow, the one chick, and...
Scarlet Witch, Black Widow. And...
one of the Wakandans.
Or Michelle. Like, Michelle from The Walking Dead. I'm trying to remember her name.
Yeah, Michonne.
Michonne.
But yeah, with that, it was like, okay.
Okoye.
But then it was like literally every single lady. And it's like, for the... On the one hand, like, yay, girl power. I'm in a house full of girls, so I can't not say yay, girl power. But yes, it did seem very forced. And so anybody who is on the fence, you can push them over either way. It can either go, oh, God, seriously, guys? Because what were the men doing during that time? Were they just too busy or something? Like, that's what made it so stupid, is it's just like, not only that, but then when it happened in the first movie, it's like, okay, like, screw all the other people who are almost dying. I'm going to go over here and help a girl. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. I much prefer a character that is strong and confident, who happens to be a woman, happens to be black, happens to be Asian, happens to be whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, here's a strong, confident person, but I need to make sure to put down a man in order to show that I'm strong and confident. Like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to put somebody down to bring yourself up. That's not how it works. So casual. Super cash.
Yeah,
like, it really wasn't like it really even wasn't like I've been with men. It was, I'm sure you've been with men and women. And it's like, yeah, and he's I'm like, sure you've been too. A bit of both. And he just kind of agreed with it.
But didn't go into, you know, didn't go into detail. So it's, you know, where you have the Bible thumpers. And I saw, speaking of, see, this is the thing with Nick and Nature. We can talk about stuff and then just go into like fucking social issues. I had seen a protest. I had seen a like a counter protest poster that was really poignant. It's like, we're not trying to turn your kids gay. We're trying to let gay kids survive. And it's like,
I think in today's society, like, dear God,
the moment
Biden took office, suddenly there were like all these issues that it's like were never issues before, but suddenly they are now. Suddenly, out of nowhere, transgender teenagers in sports was a big enough deal where we needed to start making laws. Now there's a law, I can't remember, it's probably like Alabama or something like that, or I can't, or Arkansas, or I can't remember, but it's like there's literally a law now where like they might force you to show you genitals to prove whether or not you're a boy or girl. And it's like, why does it matter that much? You know, could there be an argument, okay? Could there be an argument about a man who is transitioning to a woman and going into a woman's sport, and maybe the muscle density, the bone density, all that kind? Could there be a discussion about that? Yes. But is forcing people to show genitals the way to have that discussion? No.
No, that's the genitals. Absolutely in the government not. Should never be a thing. Like, right? And that's
especially in a teenage sports.
I don't want to go down. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because I do want to go back to Loki because that one's going to get me.
This is Loki.
That's not Loki.
Gender fluid. Okay,
he is gender fluid.
We don't want anybody to have to show Loki's genitals.
That's exactly.
Gonna
be the season
finale. It's going to all build up to. Well, where's your genitals?
Show me your genitals.
Genitals. What? Show me your genitals.
What do you think is going to happen in the next episode? Like, where do you think it's going to go if you were to guess? I couldn't have guessed getting the beautiful cinematography that we did in episode 3.
That Warner was fucking awesome. Like, there was clearly some magic, you know, like, especially there's one shot where they literally look up. So anytime in a Warner, if they look up, they can cut anything going on down here. So anytime that happens, it's an obvious cut. But still, that Warner at the end was just so, like, very good. Like, that's, when you see shit like that, it's like, okay, yeah, these people give a shit about their project. It's not just them making another episode. Like, when that one happens in Daredevil, they have one, each Daredevil season has one just really good one-er where they just keep going and going and going. Like, oh, God, I love it. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, and with that, like, they're also, I got to figure out who is the cinematographer or the print person in charge of principal photography. That's not the correct terminology, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is I got to see who that is because, like, they were able to do, like, everything was very well paced as well. Like, as an example, when we, you know, no obvious cut that happened when we tried to figure out what the fuck Loki said and I couldn't find it. I was sitting there watching that scene of them, you know, at the table, and I thought it was a lot more sped and like was given the information like pretty quick, you know, when I recall back to the episode. Mm-hmm. But like, even in that moment when, you know, he was like, you know, a little bit of both, she asked the question, the camera goes over to him, and there's a beat, and he goes, a little bit of both. And it was one of those, it's not like when you're used to an American cinematography, what I call the Hell's Kitchen effect, where it's constant camera flip. And it's so quick. And this was like, it kind of let the scene breathe, if that makes sense. Yeah. And it allowed it to stand out. That's definitely
what you could say about most of the Marvel series, is that like the whole Sam becoming Captain America could have been a movie.
Yeah.
But seeing from episode 1 to whatever it was, 8, right? Seeing that over the course of like 8 hours or whatever was way more impactful than like, okay, now I'm in my suit. It's the third act, so obviously I need to be in it.
Yeah, whereas in this case, it's, you know, at the end of it, like after the 8th week or whatever, we get to see him in his suit, and it's like, it feels earned. It really does.
Definitely.
But Loki, I'm excited to see where it's going to go because I have no fucking clue. Right. And how many episodes do we have left? Let's look and see. Oh, also, while I'm doing that, fun fact from IMDb, apparently there is Judge Dredd Mega City 1 in development at Rebel Productions. I didn't know that. I had no clue about it.
It's been in development hell for a while now. I'm sure COVID didn't help or whatever. For the longest time, I don't know if they got him or not, but for the longest time they've been trying to get Carl Urban back because he's the definitive Ooh. Dread now. So they've been trying to get him, and what sucks is that Carl is like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it." But the people behind the scenes, I don't know what they're fucking up, but they're majorly fucking shit up because they're just not getting their stuff together because it's not happening. Like when Dredd himself is like, "Let's go, guys," then it's just about you and like I don't know, like I don't what's the deal? Let's go. I want a fucking I want a mini series of fucking Carl Urban back as Dredd or whatever.
All right, so Loki only has 6 episodes.
Oh, that means we're halfway.
Yep, we're at the halfway mark.
Oh no.
So that's the thing. That's going to be crazy. Now, that kind of leads me to believe that they're probably not going to introduce. They might introduce him, but they might not do a big reveal of the villain. We might not get that until probably.
Well, you do realize what Doctor Strange 2 is called.
Hold on. I just realized this, the timing. Eternals comes out in November. Mm-hmm. What I can see probably will happen is we'll see Kang for the very first time at the end of Loki, possibly, and then really get to see him in the Eternals.
So we're going to get the head going back and smile in Loki.
Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like the TVA and therefore the Timekeepers has been built up way too much for us to not get a full on look at them. Because right now the quote unquote villain of it is the other variant Loki, but now she's obviously been established as not the villain. So since that is happening essentially halfway through the season, we can assume that she was the red herring, and so now we need to figure out who the real villain is. The TVA at the moment is the only one that could be the real villain. Yeah. And it makes the most sense because just like we said before, someone is making sure that the tiniest little thing, like I love in the Miss Minutes. I love when she's doing the intro or whatever, and she talks about like how even a person late to work could end up becoming a variant, and it's like, oh damn, like that's how strict they are. Yeah. But you know, a person who wants to control the entire universe and in reality itself, and the only way they can do that is making sure that very specific steps happen.
Yeah,
it makes sense because even think about back to Doctor Strange and Infinity War, there was literally one way it could happen. Maybe the reason there was one way it could happen is because all the other things didn't exist technically.
Yeah.
So
another thing with that is, as well, is, and look into a little bit more. I think IGN did some good coverage on it. Miss Minutes, there's also a theory that she's the villain.
That would just be dumb.
No, it's not.
Super dumb.
No, it's not. Look into it because, no. No.
Linda, honey, listen. That would be dumb because, like, I'm sorry. All the other villains have been so gut-wrenchingly obvious that making a fucking hologram, which granted it's maybe the voice of the hologram, but that's not the point. That's so fucking stupid. Anyway.
So here's the thing. Miss Minutes is a real thing. Like we've seen that. If you go back and watch the second episode, I'll send you a link. Watch the breakdown video of it. Because what they point out, if you think back to that episode at the beginning of it, whenever he's swatting at her, she is, you hear her footsteps hit against each object she hits to. Like she reacts to the physical environment. So it's not like just a temporal hologram. And then she goes inside.
This is people reading into shit.
I swear to God. I refuse to
even remotely
engage. Well, here's the thing too. Do you know who plays Miss Minutes?
Who?
Tara Strong.
Harley Quinn. God, Tara Strong.
No, no, no. That's the thing. She's being billed super highly as well. So she's not going to be billed for just this, like, oh, it's. But here's another thing. Miss Minutes is literally everywhere in the TVA. If you look in the elevators, there's Miss Minutes icons. And on the temp pad, there's a button for Miss Minutes. So there's the theory is that
so she's the this timekeeper.
She's this quantic, you know, quantum AI in some capacity or quantum being. And, you know, it makes sense if you look into it. I'm not just saying crazy shit.
Well, that's what people said about X-Men and how they were going to suddenly introduce mutants because she.
But this is a little bit
Wanda
more founded.
Was going to open up the time or whatever in the this variants. More, and I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I trust Marvel. I'm not really disappointed in anything that they're doing right now. But that is
and
the
that's
thing.
Why I refuse to look at theories because something as little as Ms. Minutes, they're like, oh my god, you can hear her footsteps. That means she's the real villain. Like that is a leap. That is a Matrix
it
leap.
Didn't go,
okay?
It didn't go from that to that. It actually set it up, and it makes sense when you fucking look at it. It didn't just go, oh hey, her footsteps. Oh look, she might be controlling the TVA. Like it's. Or she is like, no matter what, her importance is not being stressed. Like she is way more important than they're letting out. Mm-hmm. So she could very much be a sentient of the timekeeper as timekeepers, as far as basically the person who that's the main theory now is she's the person who does the handiwork for them. Mm-hmm. The timekeepers are so ethereal in the sense of they're like so high on their whatever that Miss Minutes is the entity or the being that makes sure shit gets done. Mm-hmm. So. We'll see. We've got 3 episodes, and we'll fucking see where it goes.
Yeah.
He's just fucking. I just. It's, I it makes sense. Care.
It
makes it sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway. I will make you watch the video now.
No, I don't wanna. Yeah. Anyways, but that like I said, that's my point. That's why I don't want to look at theories because I don't want to have something built up to up here, and then it's just like. The most simple explanation or whatever. I really don't want to. So how do we transition, huh?
I have no idea, honestly.
So we're talking about movies. Let's talk about some video games. Okay.
It's easy, okay.
That was flawless. Flawless.
That was flawless. That was flawless.
Flawless victory.
I'm still on the bandwagon. If we're talking about games, I'm still on the bandwagon. I am 100%. I am sucking Xbox's dick right now. They are coming on me in Halo jizz, and I am buying an Xbox. You know what? I've put it out of my mind that I'm going to get a PS5. Now, if one is presented to me and I have the money.
Right. For sure.
I'll get it, but if I have the chance to get an Xbox first, I'm gonna get an Xbox.
No one
has given me a reason to say no. The only thing that I feel like I'm missing out at this point is the haptic feedback stuff with the DualSense.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, I think I mentioned it somewhere on some video. I don't know because there's even some videos that we haven't, you know, published or whatever. But I said it somewhere. It's no longer about me preferring Sony, but they're coming out with, it was our E3 coverage. That's when I said it, but Xbox is coming out and they're doing so many things. Like I'm broke. I have 2 girls to, you know, at least maybe try to get into college. So
yeah,
like I don't have money to just throw around or whatever. And the fact that I can get the Xbox, and not only can I get the Xbox and all of its exclusives for a low, low price, there are tons of ridiculous, ridiculous amount of games going day one to Game Pass. It's ridiculous. Back 4 Blood is a perfect example. Back 4 Blood, while my hype level isn't a 10, because, you know, we've been over this before, while my hype level isn't all the way up at a 10, it's definitely up there, and I think no matter what, I would buy it.
Yeah.
Even if somehow the open beta comes out and it's just really messy. It's Left 4 Dead 3. I'm going to play it. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, Point being, I'm going to buy it. So where, how much do I want to pay for it? Do I want to pay $60, $70 for it? Because now games are being $70. Or do I want to pay $14.99 a month and get a guaranteed amount of games or whatever?
Or basically $150 a year.
Exactly. Like, even $150, that's two games. That's two games at $70, basically. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, there's the,
it's so insane that... Oh, like I'm legitimately pissed at Sony that they're not doing something. They honestly are so pigheaded to think that they don't need to do anything to combat this. Okay, they're turning a Sony pony, tried and true Sony pony, and it's not that I don't want to play Horizon Zero Dawn. It's not that I don't want to play God of War. It's that it is officially not fucking worth it anymore. That I'm going to the Xbox. Well, like, what do they call them? Xboxers? It's Sony Pony.
Microsoft, I don't fucking know. I don't. It's probably not that
boxer,
one,
yo. That's what it is. We're boxers.
That's the thing with me too. With PlayStation, I've never been a full on Sony pony. Like if you look at my gaming lineage, I've always had pretty much whatever's available, like play whatever's available. You know, I consciously I can remember getting my own GameCube, and then later got a PS2 Slim, and then later got a Wii and a 360, and later got a PS3. You know, so I've always just enjoyed playing the games. Now, I will say this, the 360 generation, I think that the 360 is definitely a winner over the PS3, but I've always had just been open to whatever I could get my hands on, pretty much. And with things like that, like a good example is when I got the Xbox One, I was on the fence. You know, I bought PS4 day one. I knew I wanted a PS4. And because that shitty press conference, Xbox was like, eh. with Xbox, when they showed off the Master Chief Collection, I'm like, that's it. I'm buying an Xbox. Like that, it got me to buy an Xbox. Was it worth it at that time? Master Chief Collection was kind of a problem. But it's the same thing in this case. Like, what they showed off for Halo Infinite, even just the multiplayer suite, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm buying an Xbox.
Right.
But for me too, I'm cool with stacking a lot of those exclusives. You know, I'm cool with not having to play them in that specific moment, because Nick, you know me, and frustratingly so, you know me, I'm not someone who's right off the bat, unless it's something I really, really want to, going to play it because everyone else is. So like, I don't have to play it in that capsule of time.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Sony needs to do something, because
anything. Like,
I feel like they see that they're losing. They're losing customers. Maybe not.
I had a PlayStation 1. I had a PlayStation 2. I bought the first one I actually bought with my own money was a PlayStation 3. I have a PlayStation 4. And until recently, PlayStation 5 was the obvious choice for me. I literally didn't even think about cheating. You know, no. Should I? Oh, no. No. But so you're four fucking generations of consoles, and something like this comes along, and I don't know how you say no to it. I really don't. Other than if you just have enough money to get both, you can use PlayStation as the exclusive and Xbox as your main or something like that. But it's
which is what a lot of people do, and a lot of people do for Xbox as well.
So, yeah, I'm so mad, I'm so angry, and it could have been better. Speaking of could have been better, Alien Colonial Marines. We have a new game, and it's coming out really quickly. The fact that it's coming out really fucking quickly is sus as fuck, because whoever made this game knows that people have a negative outlook on it, and so either they're not showing enough because they're hoping to make money, or they're not showing enough because they're confident. And unfortunately, in today's space, I can't tell the fucking difference. So let's take a quick look here. So here we go. Newest trailer of Aliens Fireteam Elite. I guess it's muted, so let me... It's Fireteam. Oh, there's the wah! Wait for the bass drop. Is it just me, or is this, like, really dark?
No, it's dark.
Okay, is there some... I mean, it's supposed to be, probably, but... All right, whatever. I don't know if there's anything I can do about that. And then see five survive. So just from that trailer, even if you never played Colonial Marines or never even heard of it, what would be your hype level?
Oh, 100%. A lot higher than probably Back 4 Blood.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay.
Because I am getting... I think the best Alien / Predator game we have gotten so far is the AVP game. Because it was really cool that you were able to play as all three perspectives, the Marines, Alien, and... Predator. Now, in this sense, you're not getting the experience of playing as the alien, unless they're going to do a multiplayer type bit to it. But
yeah, the gameplay they did do in Colonial Marines. In Colonial Marines, you could play as an alien, and so it was kind of like Left 4 Dead, if you think about it, because you could spawn in as a spitter or a regular or a crusher if you had enough.
Yeah,
points.
This looks
like that.
Fucking awesome. It does, and like yeah. I can't say it really would be one of those if it was on Game Pass and I'm in the mood for a like just go through and just kill a bunch of if I want to feel like going on a killing spree, right. Then but it's also cool to see variants. Like there was like two or three like well if you go rewind and go back to a part where it shows like that background. Yeah. Okay, like just press play. Pause on when it shows one of the
oh fuck. I pressed skip instead of oh my god, why is Valorant like suddenly getting so I don't know, you know?
I don't know.
Like I'm sure it's fun or whatever, but like out of nowhere they're just like, oh yeah, like
no. Okay, okay, press play. I think it's a little bit later on, but it's here, I'll tell you when to pause.
Excuse me. It's like right here somewhere. You gotta get the green guys. Well, and see, it's funny you're talking about
that.
What?
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So where it goes?
Yeah.
Well, not just that. If you click where it goes, like survive, where it gives you the text, like keep going. Pay attention. There's like pictures of like aliens with spears. Really... Yeah.
Yeah. There's the little green guy. But okay, so it's funny. So have you ever played Colonial Marines?
I played the demo of it.
Yeah. Okay. So honestly, I think Alien Colonial Marines gets a really bad rep. It's not a horrible game, and I know it's that old adage or whatever, by saying it's not that bad of a game, it really is that bad of a game. But no, it really wasn't a bad game. Like, obviously, if you looked it up, you would see memes where there was, like, an alien doing that, "Hello, my baby, hello, my darling."
Yeah.
You know, you'd see memes like that or whatever, but... I hate when this happens, but it's like when I play games, I swear I'm the most lucky person because I don't run into bugs like that. So many games, Fallout 76, Alien Colonial Marines. I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head, but there's been so many games where it's like people, all they talk about are the bugs. Yeah. Days Gone is another really good one. But yeah, that's all they'll talk about. They won't talk about the game. They won't talk about anything but the bugs and whatever. And I just don't experience them. So Alien Colonial Marines to put into perspective, I was so hyped for, I got the collector's edition. I've never gotten a collector's edition. And I'm not talking about the regular collectors. I'm talking about the one where you actually got the little statue figurine of the person in the mech suit and the alien on it. Okay, that's how hyped I was for this. And I wasn't personally let down. And it was one of those things where it's like the internet was just full of people absolutely hating on this game. And I don't know why. To me, it is it is Left 4 Dead, but aliens. Like, that's...
It could also be, for me, a different point I'm at in my life when it comes to games, where the idea of a class-based, like, third-person shooter like this sounds more appealing to me than the first-person shooter, you know, story, I guess, that they were given in Colonial Marines. But I can't say that definitively because I didn't, you know, I'm not invested in Colonial Marines. But
right. So, but my point being is that you bring up the variants or whatever. Yeah. Variants?
Uh-huh.
You bring up the variants, and those exact variants are in Colonial Marines. There's a spitter. Yeah. There's one that explodes. There's one that is basically a giant bull. It has a giant, like, the fin or whatever. Yeah. It'll ram you or whatever. There are so many different, like, that it does kind of feel like Left 4 Dead, but with aliens. And so now we have this one, which a lot of people are calling Left 4 Dead with aliens, but it's like, we technically already had that, but everybody just bitched about it. Yeah. So when I see this, I am hyped, but I'm only hyped if I don't remember Colonial Marines. Because if I do remember Colonial Marines, which I do, this does not look like anything different. Sorry. Other than, okay, now it's in third person. So to me... call me bitter.
But don't call you Shirley.
Hey, call me bitter.
Are you bitter?
Yes. God. Hour later. Anyways. Yeah, call me bitter, but I don't see what's the big fucking fuss. I don't see why, other than it's like, oh, this isn't Gearbox. You know, it is... Who the fuck is making this game, eh? Let me see here. Set in the Alien universe, Alien Fire Team Elite is a cooperative third-person survival shooter that drops the Fire Team and Hardy Marines into a desperate blah, 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 fuggity, fuggity, voo.
Old Iron Studio, in collaboration with Disney's 20th Century Games.
Does it actually say Disney's?
Yeah, that's Disney's funny. 20th Century Games.
I mean, I knew that Disney... owned them, obviously.
Bought it's 20, just yeah, funny right.
That it's actually, yeah, because if I go all the way back here, yeah, okay, I can't really see it because all this fucking shit. Anyways, so point being is, like, since it's not Gearbox, are people suddenly hyped for this? I don't get it. I don't get the appeal. I don't get why, like, you saying you're more excited for this than Back 4 Blood, like. I don't see,
because for me this seems different, and Back 4 Blood I'm excited to play, and I know I will, because we're gonna get it on Xbox and get it on Game Pass, and I won't have to probably buy the game overall. But the problem I'm running in with Back 4 Blood is everything that I have seen from it without having firsthand experience myself just shows generic, like, hey, this is Left 4 Dead but not Left 4 Dead, which is not a bad thing. Interesting. But in terms of, like, I haven't experienced a class-based alien game like this, because the last alien game I played was Alien versus Predator, and maybe the demo for Annihilation, you know. Okay. If you want to count that.
So in a way,
so it's really just IP,
in a way,
new
it's
IP.
Not it's kind of like Back 4 Blood doesn't need to sell you, you're already correct. Sold, whereas this one, like, actually intrigues you. Okay, so it's not necessarily even that you prefer this one, it's just that you don't need to be sold on
Back 4 Blood. I know I'm going to play Back 4 Blood. Gotcha. But I'm also not hyped for it, because it's like,
okay.
It's not,
either way, but the fact that you would even just be more hyped for this baffles me beyond any reason, because it's like, what's the difference between this and that? Other than, yes, time has passed, so the graphics are a little bit, even this end screen where it's like, oh, get an emote, get a gun skin, get, it's like, oh God, that scares me. But it's like, guess what? Same thing happened in Colonial Marines. You got some skins, you got some characters. So what's the fucking difference? The difference is it's not Gearbox, and that's it? Like, I genuinely don't know why people didn't like Colonial Marines. You know, I can understand not thinking it's a masterpiece. Yeah. Not thinking that it's game of the year material, obviously. But to think that it was absolute trash, that's where I draw the line. Because we've had this conversation multiple times. So feel free to skip ahead. But it goes back to that old adage that I've been saying for a while now. When somebody sees something new, it needs to be absolutely mind-blowing. Otherwise, it's complete trash. You know, when the next movie comes out, whatever that movie is, that movie needs to be absolute, you know, perfection. Otherwise, it's trash. You know what I mean? What's a good example? What's a recent movie that came out? I don't know.
Yeah, that's hard for that one.
Released in 2021. Because I'm trying to think of one that's like that came out and it was just not loved. That's a hard one because it's like I do feel like there's been some bangers recently. You know what I mean? So. Ooh, here we go. Wrath of Man. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Jason Statham. Who's the director? Guy Ritchie.
Oh yes.
Jason Statham, Guy Ritchie. Great. He's on a revenge path or whatever. And then if people go and see this and then they think it's garbage or whatever, it's like, okay, but what were you expecting? It's Jason Statham and Guy Ritchie. Like,
yeah,
that's the overall point I'm trying to get to is that some people think that every movie needs to be perfection. Otherwise, it's garbage. Some movies can be okay. That's allowed. That's a thing.
Yeah.
If every movie is a masterpiece, no movies are masterpieces. Yeah, you need your Liam Neeson, The Ice Road, in order to appreciate Liam Neeson Taken.
Right. You need to have that.
Have you seen the trailer for The Ice Road? I watched the movie last night on Netflix.
Well, yes. Are you talking about the one that came out a couple years ago?
No, I'm talking about the one that came out this Friday. This recent. It's called Ice Road. It's about him being an ice road trucker.
And that finally came out. Yes, I've seen the trailer for that. Yeah. It's the one with him in the like basically just killing people and we don't really know why. He's just killing
what you find out. No, that's a completely different one because you're thinking about the one where his son gets killed and it was supposedly a drug overdose. Okay. Right?
Let's see. Both
of them were just kind of mediocre. Another really good example, a lot of people don't like Adam Sandler. And they'll even go to the point where it's like, all it is fart and poop jokes. It's like, yeah, but that's Adam Sandler. Like, did you go to Pixels expecting masterpiece?
That's the thing. That's the thing that's funny about that too is with an Adam Sandler movie as well as a, and you can probably go off that screen if you want to, with Adam Sandler movie as well as a, what's the other one? Oh my God, what was it?
Will Ferrell.
It's not Will Ferrell. Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Within the past like couple weeks or so, watched for the first time King Arthur, and then also watched for the first time. We ended up watching on Father's Day. That's what it was Murder Mystery. Murder Mystery. We didn't see that before, and both of those were genuinely good movies. Like the only thing that really got on my nerves with the Murder Mystery was like the whole thing at the, is like, oh, Adam Sandler, he's the stupid husband. He's the, like, it was very tropey in that sense, but like, I really enjoyed how they played with a lot of different stuff, but yeah, go with Guy Ritchie's got a type, you know, like I love Sherlock Holmes and it's one of those, I can't say I love Guy Ritchie cause it's like, I don't pay attention to his work enough, but after watching King Arthur, I'm like, oh, this dude's a visual fucking move. Like just storyteller. Cause like, we had to pause the movie after the first, like after the prologue, basically. And I went, because we were watching with a group of people. I'm like, am I the only one who doesn't know what the fuck is going on, but I'm super entertained? And everyone was like, yep. I was like, okay, cool. Because it's like, you didn't give me any story explanation. And I don't know what's happening till the very end of the fucking movie, which to some people would be bad. But I was like, okay, it wasn't as egregious as The Witcher to me. So that's why I enjoyed it. But everyone has a type. You're right. Everyone has a specific like set or you know style of movie that they enjoy and some that they really don't. Mm-hmm. But Adam Sandler is the main one. Yeah. But no, it is the same movie going back to Liam Neeson. Yeah, it's the same one, which I guess was they had. That's weird. Oh, no, it's not. Cold Pursuit is what I was thinking about.
There you go.
Cold
there Pursuit. You go.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, so this is a different one. It's a Netflix movie. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just, I'll watch that tonight. It's completely mediocre. So if you go into it expecting mediocrity, then you're probably going to just have a good Liam Neeson time. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's got Lawrence Fishburne in it. How could it be mediocre? Not for
long. But anyways, so on this nice, long and winding road... The point is, I don't understand why Alien Colonial Marines isn't liked. I don't, and I never will. So there is a part of me that's bitter that this game is suddenly like everybody, oh my god, it looks so cool. And like, no, like it looks exactly the same, only now it's in third person. Like genuinely, there's even one where it's like what, 15 minutes of, you know how IGN does their shit. Yeah. They're like, here's 15 minutes of gameplay. And I'm like, this looks like Colonial Marines, but now it's in third person. That's it. That's it. So the fact that there are, for instance, 24,000 like to only 894 dislikes, that's a really good fucking ratio.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the comments because I would like to see genuinely like how people are reacting to this. Could be awesome and fun. Could be a disaster. Only time will tell. That's definitely my genuine response to this. Honestly, Alien games are like flipping a coin at this point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong. When your entire team dies, you'll hear the distant echoes of a whispering voice saying, "Game over, man." This looks like fun. A bit disappointed that there's no Alien Isolation sequel, but I'll give this a good try. That's a good point. When can we get another, or when can we get an AVP remastered or an AVP sequel? This game needs a button where your character scream, "It's game over, man! It's game over!" This game gave me major Colonial Marines flashbacks. Thank you! Darth Chris, you're my man. Still
you're
hoping
my buddy.
For
you're
so
my
a
pal.
Lot of people are just pointing out a lot of people are just pointing out it's funny how many likes there are to this, but I go to the comments and a lot of the comments are either I want Alien Isolation, I want AVP, Colonial Marines, here's another one, I'm not pre-ordering anything! ! Alien CM, which is Colonial Marines for the layman's, was a lesson learned. Honestly, judging by this trailer, this game looks like it could be amazing. I'm still wary because Colonial Marines, but that trailer was dope. Exactly! So I guess that's kind of my point. It does seem like there are some people, and maybe it's just the circles that I listen to, but it does seem like the circles that I listen to are at least very much intrigued in this. So, I don't
know. Oh, that was a cacophony there.
Cacophony. Oh man. Yeah. So, that's life.
What's it all about?
What about? All right. You know what? That's a wrap, people. It's a rap.
He tickles himself, which is really like it's one of those, and it's like sometimes I don't get the hits, and it's like, and just watching him tickle himself is well, he's not actually tickling himself, but you know, yeah.
Anyways, and God, that was so dope. So that's going to be it for this particular show. However, we would like to leave you on a good and happy note, hopefully. And that is, you know, we're going to be doing a subathon in August. But basically, I looked around the internet and I'm like, how do people do subathons? Most of them are Twitch subathons. And so they literally stream every day in a month. And I'm like, that's too much. I can't handle that. That's no. A million times no. Because the thought of having to stream every day to, yeah, no. So that's not happening. But I wanted to take the general idea and try to run with it. So instead of trying to get followers on Twitch, we're going to be trying to get followers on YouTube. So basically, the whole month of August, we're going to be putting out a new video every day. They might not be really long videos. Like, not every single one's going to be a banger like this. Am I right?
Am I right?
Some of them might even just be like a 5-minute like checkup. Like, hey, hi guys, how's it going? You know, we do want to kind of do a little focus on like healthy living or whatever. I want to try to get into, you know, better shape or whatever, so I can kind of use content as an excuse to do that. So we are going to put a little spin on that. So every video might have something like, you know, we'll do some curls, you know, or we might,
yeah, do some daddy push-ups. daddy made you some content.
Yeah. Daddy made you some content. Anyways, so yeah, every day, it's also a really good way to perhaps try new things. You know, we're still obviously going to have very nerd focused things like movies and video games, but it's also a good chance to just try doing some new things. One, see how much we like doing it, and two, see how much the audience responds to it. But there's going to be plenty of things like, you know, we have challenges. We also have like, milestones. So let me just give you guys a little bit of a preview. Let's see. I got to get to the right document. So there's going to be things like guess the game. So, you know, we're going to do some kind of game where we, you know, goof off and, you know, like it might be, maybe it'll be 20 questions or something, but basically I have to guess. Nate comes up with the game and I guess it. There's a don't cringe challenge, which I'm sure will be absolutely hilarious. We're going to do like a blindfold eat challenge. So I'm still not quite sure what that's going to entail. Probably like,
we'll, or how like, sadistic it's going to be.
Right? Just like, yeah. What is that? Step, bro. but it might be just something like Skittles. You know, we put a Skittle in our mouth, sure, we're blindfolded, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have to try to guess the color, or fruit snacks, you know, cream. Just do little package of fruit snacks. Oh, that's cherry. So might do something like that. Where I'm going to finally try sushi. Never tried sushi in my life.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then there's sub goals. So for 5 subs, we're going to have our wives slap us in the face. So if you get us 5 more subs, then, you know, when, by the way, this doesn't count until August. So don't, if you're not subscribed to us for some reason and you suddenly get us 5 subs, it's not going to count because it needs to be in August. At 10 subs, we're going to do a shirtless Nick and Nate show. So you're going to get a little bit more Nick and Nate than you signed up for. Unless you're audio.
We'll make it interesting. We will. There's a couple ideas I have.
So. Okay, good. 20 subs is going to be nails painted. The color of it will be chosen by vote. And we have to leave it on for the rest of the month. So mine will be done by my daughter because I want to make sure it's like really, really good. And you can have your wife do it. What were you going to say?
They're just like, I forgot about that. That was one of them. You forgot about that one?
50 subs. If we get 50 subs, we're going to do a karaoke stream. So I think the only way to do it to make it interesting, because obviously if I karaoke and I choose my songs, I'm going to blow you guys away and you guys are going to love me. So part of this is,
it needs, it'll have to be a roulette. Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to be, will some it be type in of a roulette. So will it be in a song that I know or one that I don't
Bo
know?
Bo Burnham's Inside Catalog. Maybe.
Right. 75, get punched in the stomach. So, you know, we're just doing silly stuff. 106-year-old daughter does makeup on me and I have to keep it on for the rest of the weekend. Which yours could just be your wife, obviously, but I just thought it would be funny to have my 6-year-old do makeup on me.
I just want you to know, like, that's, there's some things, that's going to be worse than you think. That's going to be really fucking bad. So,
200. So now we're getting up close, you know, a small Ziploc bag of black olives. I absolutely hate olives. So it'll definitely be a punishment. And I think you said you don't like green olives, but you're okay with black olives. So yours.
Will I love be black green. Olives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yours will be green. 300 subs, play 8 hours of Fortnite. And anybody here knows I do not like Fortnite. I went on the other day to kind of just like prep myself, and I'm like, this isn't bad, but it's 8 hours bad. So I'm not looking forward to that. 400. This one isn't really something that I hate, but it would be super tedious. And that is watch all the Star Wars movies back to back, which is 25 hours. So essentially, I don't know if it would be a stream.
We could make it, honestly, we could make it worse and have it to where we include Clone Wars with that, because that would make it even more tedious.
Oh, no. I mean, I want it to be a punishment. I don't want it to be torture.
Not torture. Just take the Clone Wars content.
If we get to 1,000, because to put it in perspective, I think we're right before 500. Let me go check real fast. Go to my channel. We are at, that's the wrong one. It says
we're at, that's the wrong one. Yeah.
It says we're at 3 subscribers. So that is the wrong, I got to get to the right one. You know what? I'll just get on my phone. Daddy made you some content. Right now we're at 492. So in order to get to 1,000, we need 502 subscribers essentially. And that will just be a giveaway of $100. So somebody will get $100.
What was the amount that you just said?
What?
What was the amount that you just said?
1,000 subs.
No, so, subscribers. What are we at now?
Oh, we're at 498.
Okay.
So if we get to 1,000, we'll do a $100 giveaway. Because, I mean, a lot of people say that, like, your first 1,000 is the hardest to get to. So that's kind of what we're pushing for, this first, you know, subathon. We might do another one, you know, next year or something like that. But for now, yeah, that's kind of, it's kind of what we're hoping for. So yeah, expect new things from us on our YouTube channel at least, you know, once a day. You can still come, if you're an audio listener, you can still come here and listen to us once a week. You know, we might do, I don't know, maybe we'll do little snippets of the videos that we had throughout the week and kind of play them for you so that you can decide for yourself if you really want to do that. Or we might just have like funny stories that we can talk about, like, oh, that one video we did, and then we can talk about funny stories or whatever. But either way, that's kind of what we're looking for. So July, we're going to do our best. But July is basically going to be prep. You know, we'll pre-record some things, you know. But, you know, like, maybe not every podcast is either going to be on time, either going to be very long. But that's definitely something we wanted to let you guys know ahead of time. next week, since it's going to be July 4th, we're not going to have a podcast. It's kind of worked out weird because it's like we had Mother's Day and Father's Day. So it's like it's almost been like every other week. That's not necessarily on purpose. But even on top of it, like Father's Day was super depressing for me for a completely different reason that it was probably depressing for you. So, like, I just didn't feel like, you know, even getting into anything. So,
The only thing I was happy about
is me and my daughter did a review of Luca. So that was just nice because it was just like,
wholesome. You know,
I got to, I just kind of got to goof off with my kid or whatever. So I think that was the perfect way for me to just kind of celebrate, I guess. Yeah. So, all right. So yeah, Subathon August. If you're not already subscribed to us on YouTube, go ahead and wait. I'm totally okay. I'm totally okay with you guys waiting to sub in August because, we're going to try to make that a really big month. So if you guys could join us, we're going to be posting on our, you know, Twitter all the time at TX3 Productions, on Instagram, ThreadX3 Productions. So if you haven't already, follow us on there. We'll post, you know, clips. We might even have exclusive things on Instagram that you can only get there. it kind of just depends, you know. It's going to be a very crazy month in August, so just please, you know, if you would, wouldn't mind supporting us, that'd be super, super awesome. So anyways, this was the Nick and Nate Show. I was Nick. Yeah, Nick, yeah.
I was Nate?
I think so. We got it. First try.